I don't know if it was by human design, I doubt it, but we've had three songs in here this morning about the name. Had three songs about that name. That's by divine design. Amen. That was good. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me this morning, please, to 1 John chapter number 2. If you'd like to stand while we open the pages of the only infallible book on this earth. Just one. 1 John chapter number 2. Verse number 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Father, in thy name, bless your word. In Jesus' name, give me unction. That unction that I just read to preach this book. Thy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. The Apostle John, who is kicked out of the Gospels because he's not one of the so-called synoptic Gospels, he's a little too spacey for some of these modern theologians. John just talks too much about high things and eternal things, and presents things in a kind of a different manner. He says in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 20 of those who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we have an unction. If you get any lexicon or dictionary and try to look up what that word means, you're going to find that none of them can tell you what it means. They can tell you what you do. They can use the word charisma or charisma to rub or something of that nature. But as far as what does the word mean? What does unction mean? They're at a loss. And of course, the reason they are at a loss is because the source of it is the Holy Ghost. A true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to what John says in 1 John chapter number 2, therefore has dwelling and abiding within his soul the ability to, regardless of what denomination he or she may belong to, they have that ability within them that is God-given, if they're born again, to weed through a bunch of foolishness and garbage and come to the truth. Because the Holy Ghost will lead you to the truth. Now, by leading you to the truth, he may lead you out of the denomination you're in and the group you're running with and the crowd that you're with or the church you were born into or whatever. By leading you to the truth, therefore, though, he leads you to the light. He leads you to Christ. He leads you to him in a greater way than you ever knew him before. And that, my friend, is the ultimate goal of any Christian on this earth. As the Apostle Paul says, my desire is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to his will. My friend, we're here this morning according to the Word of God. We have an unction. And what is that unction? Let me say this, if anything, that I can say about the unction. It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God to open up your soul and your spirit to the truth. It is also the power of the Holy Spirit of God to open up within you that ability to discern an individual who has the power of God and the Holy Spirit upon his heart and on his soul. You have that ability. That's a God-given ability. That's called unction. My friend, no amount of learning, no amount of experience, no amount of human ability will ever prepare you for this. This comes only from God, and you either have it or you don't. And so the Apostle John says, my little children, we have an unction from the Holy One. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here 2,000 years ago, his life was absolutely and completely devoted and given to God Almighty the Father. His purpose in this world was to glorify God the Father. In John chapter number 17, he told him, he said, I came that you could be glorified. I've done exactly what I came to do, and now I'm coming back to you, my Father, in glory. The Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, had come into this world and had been anointed with unction from on high, with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It is the greatest act of presumption and arrogance for anyone to believe that you can set about and do the work of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is arrogance on your part. It is rebellion in your nature to believe that programs and organizations and churches and buildings is able to do the work of God without the Holy Spirit. My friend, God Almighty can do only one thing, and that's turn from you. He will have that unction. Well, my friend, we will not be able to do what God's called us to do. It is from God and him alone that we should come before him
and cry out in His name and say, Lord God Almighty, my soul hungers, my spirit yawns, I desire that I might have from Thee what I absolutely must have in order to serve Him. How is it that you believe, as the Apostle said to the church at Galatia, you began in the Spirit? What makes you think now that you can perfect yourself in the flesh? You started in the Spirit. The Spirit world ushered you. In this very beginning, you were born of the Spirit of God. And at that moment, some folks depart from that Spirit and begin to try to live for God by doing something in the flesh, by some ability that they can scratch up or call down or do or work out in the flesh. You cannot do it. You cannot please God in the flesh. It is utterly impossible. You must have the power of the Holy Ghost of God. The old timers knew that. They knew that. They knew what a camp meeting was about. They knew what a prayer meeting was about. They knew what powered the church. They knew what we were about. The old timers talked constantly about the power of God. Constantly. They talked about the power of God. Constantly. They reminded you that nothing can get done without the power of God. And let me say this to you this morning. There is no life. There is no light. There is no hope. There is no joy. There is no future. There is nothing. There is no existence without the power of God. And you cannot separate the power of God from the Holy Ghost. We should understand that we are born into a spiritual world. We live in that spiritual world. We live and move and have our being in a spiritual world. If anybody walking the face of this earth should be prepared for spiritual battle, it ought to be a Christian. If anybody walking the face of this earth should be able to differentiate the difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of hell, it ought to be a Christian. You should immediately know whether you're coming into the presence of a Holy Ghost or a demon. You should immediately know if what you're dealing with is of God or of Satan. You should be equipped with that. And if you're not, you become, my friend, nothing in the world more than something to be cast aside, brushed aside. As the devil says, don't bother me. I have no time for you. You pose no danger. You pose no problem. You pose nothing that Satan has to worry about until you become filled with the Holy Ghost of God. So the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One. That's our soul. That's our spirit. That's our life. That's our understanding. That's our essence. That's the world we live in. And if we don't live in that world, we struggle and die. You can no longer live the life you used to live. The moment you were born again by the grace of God, everything changed about your life. You cannot go back to the same hell hole you used to live in. You cannot practice the life that you used to live. You cannot live where you used to live before you got saved. You cannot go back to the pig pen you were brought out of. Once God saves your soul, He changes you, and you'll never be the same again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm glad too. Amen. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not a drunk. I'm not a liar. I'm not a thief. That all changed the day that God saved my soul. So the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. It is the power of God descending down upon the believer. It is something that He takes hold of. He can't explain. You can no longer analyze the unction power of God. You can't put it under a microscope. You can't write a thesis on it. You can't explain it to an unbeliever. You can only experience it. And once you have, it changes your life. The thing that got you saved to begin with was from the Holy Ghost came down upon you. He convicted you. He showed you your lost condition. He turned the lights on in your life. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and changed you from a child of hell into a child of God. That's how you got here. Now, my friend, what makes you think because you got here that way that you can continue on in the flesh? In the flesh, you cannot please Him. He doesn't want anything from your flesh. He doesn't need your flesh. He doesn't desire your flesh. flesh. The Bible said the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, and these are contrary one to another. You will never please God in the flesh. You can cut your body open and shed your very blood. You can offer yourself as a sacrifice, and your flesh will do you no good. It must be in the spirit of the living God. Let's look at some of the texts that we have. In Luke chapter number 4 and verse 18, the Bible said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me," same word as unction, "he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." When the Lord Jesus Christ started his earthly ministry, he started it by confirming the word of God. He opened the book of Isaiah and read the scripture as it applied to what he was doing. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears?" This dull religious crowd, accustomed to the ritual that they went through week in and week out, when confronted with one who said, "The very word that you've been reading week in and week out has now come alive in your very presence," they didn't know how to handle that. They couldn't handle that. They couldn't wrap their brain around it, for they were living in the flesh. They had no idea that everything could change in a moment of time. And Christian friend, oh, how we walk in that same dead rut road, that Baptist religion, week in, week out, same old, deader than a doornail. Can't wait to get out of the church house so you can run to your favorite little frivolity, whether it be something that blazes before your eyes or something you do, for your life is taken up with that. It ought not be so. Why did the church die? The church died because it turned from its source of life. The church died because it no longer had a God. It had the God of this world took the place of the only true and living God. Why did the church die? Because men and women turned from the Bible and turned to temporal pleasure and this temporal world. As the Apostle Paul said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Why did the church die? It died because it no longer trusted the Almighty to be able to do what he said he could do. Is he able? Is he able? I don't hear anything this morning. Is he able? Yes, he's able. He's able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think. He is able. In Sunday school this morning, we got very deep. We got to talking about how bad the apostasy is in many of the churches in this nation. They have embraced yoga, and they have embraced Kundalini yoga. How many of you have never heard the word Kundalini yoga? Most of you haven't. And the reason you haven't is because you're Westerners. You're from the United States or Western Europe or some part of the world that relates to that. But if you were from India, or you were from one of the Eastern countries, my friend, you'd know immediately what I was talking about when I mentioned Kundalini yoga. You'd know I was talking about a spiritual discipline that opened up a spiritual world that an awful lot of people are hungering for. I don't think you understand today how that money cannot satisfy, the flesh cannot satisfy. For a little while, they drink from that altar, they eat that fruit, but after a while, it lets them down. And you'd be amazed at the PhDs, the doctors, the lawyers, the judges, the businessmen, the bankers that are searching for something to fill this huge void in their life. And I tell you this morning, the only one that can fill that hole in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan promises the world, but once he's drawn you into his power, he will literally destroy you. I want you to understand this morning that you're in a battle battle, and some of you don't realize how great that battle is. This is a spiritual struggle like you've never known before. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the hour is coming. It's the day, the scripture says, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's where we are. We don't look for that to come. We're right smack in the middle of it. The Bible said many shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned to fables. They'll turn away their ears. That's not coming. That's here right now. You're living in the midst of the worst apostasy the church has ever known. It's a horrible situation. And yet most of the church today, those that are truly saved, are completely blind to it, and they're asleep. Sleep on, friend. But I want to tell you something this morning. When the stars begin to fall to the earth, when the heavens, my friend, begin turning to darkness and the ocean turns to blood, when the vegetation is burned up and that man of sin steps out and declares that you're going to take his mark or you're not going to live, you'll wake up. There's an awful lot of people that have a clue at how much he's watching them. I've got a thing at home right now that I have to do a separate study on all together with you. 10 ways that Big Brother's watching every move you make. Listen to everything you say. He's monitoring your life. 10 ways. Things that you never imagined. How they're able to reproduce your face in 3 dimensions. If they can reproduce your face in 3 dimensions, they can put your face anywhere they want to. You can't believe a photograph and you can't believe a video. Yet they'll take it into a courtroom and convict and prosecute somebody based on that evidence. You can't believe it anymore. For they can manipulate photographs and they can manipulate video and they can manipulate tech stuff, high-tech stuff that you can't even imagine. Why are they doing it, preacher? They're going to make slaves out of you. You're going to take their mark, or you won't eat. You won't be able to buy or sell. The hour is coming. I've been digging into stuff that I think I know that this church needs to hear. I taught about it in Sunday school this morning. Now let me tell you about the spirit world that we're in. We are in a spirit world and a spirit battle. And some of you, it scares you to death to think that there's more to world than your TV and your six-pack. But there is. Some of you, the only thing you got on your mind is a bunch of guys bumping heads this following weekend. Next Sunday, the whole world goes screaming mad. America loses its sense. It just goes back to primordial, primeval days. It's the Super Bowl. Churches dismiss their services and put huge screens up inside the building. And they've already got the beer on ice and it's good and cold. And so they're going to have them a time on Super Bowl Sunday. The church does anything it can to accommodate the world. Why, preacher? Because it's dead. That's why. It's dead. Amen. Brother Ed Ballou, oh brother, dear friend of mine. Oh, what a man of God. He said, I'd just as soon watch grass grow. I remember him saying that time and again. I just as soon watch grass grow. I'm not that bad. I'll watch a good ball game every once in a while. And I played basketball and ran track when I was in high school. I enjoyed it. Sports are good. There's nothing wrong with sports. But the thing is, the Church of God doesn't have to have it. We don't have to bring it into the church house. We can get along without it. Amen. Amen. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. What I'm about to tell you, I'm telling you from my own experience and from my heart and from my soul. God Almighty allowed something to happen to me the other day that had never happened to me since I've been born again. I got to digging deep into Kundalini yoga. I started digging deep into the satanic world, into the power, the worship of the serpent, and all the other stuff associated with it. I did a lot of research. I wanted to make sure I had my facts right before I got up in front of a congregation and began to teach on this in Sunday school. The worst thing that a preacher can do is make a fool out of himself and get up and give out a bunch of stuff that he can't document, that there's no proof to, you know, hearsay stuff. That doesn't help anybody. So I got to digging into it. And then the deeper I got to digging into it, I felt something happen to me. I felt something. I felt a spirit come upon me. And it wasn't the Holy Ghost. God said, I let that spirit, I didn't let it. That spirit came upon me. I was digging into Satan's world. I was going deeper into what motivated these people. Where'd they get their power from? What's this all about? And I felt a spirit settle down upon me. And for the first time since I've been born again, God Almighty allowed me to feel the power of the devil like I'd never felt it before. And in my heart and in my soul, something began to move. I don't believe the devil wanted that to happen. In my heart and in my soul, I began to understand something that people need to understand. You realize that a man that is lost without God has no power to break what he's bonded to. The Bible said, he that committeth sin is a servant of sin. He's bound by it. You're a slave to it. And in your power, your mind, your flesh, you cannot break it. It takes the power of God. Well, God let me feel that power. He let me feel the power of Satan. And man, was it ever a powerful thing. I'm telling you, a power, the only power that I've ever known greater than that power is the power of God. I felt it. He let me feel it. He let me feel what that unsaved man feels when that comes upon him and grasps him in its snare. I said, Lord God, enough of this. God, I said, enough of this. I said, I want this off of me. That's enough. I know what you're talking about. And I got in my prayer closet and I shut the door. I buried my face in the carpet. And I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I know you and I love you and I belong to you. I plead the blood upon my soul. I plead your blood that you shed at the cross upon my soul. Satan, in the name of Jesus, you leave me. You leave my house. You leave this room. You withdraw from me. You have no authority over me. You have no power over me. Leave me! And do you know what happened? That power was gone. I felt free again. But for a moment, for just a little while, I could feel that power as it began to grasp me. And my friend, I didn't like it. I don't like it. And if you're unsaved, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about to know what it is to be made free. He brought me out of that room with a different understanding of the power of our enemy. We are up against an enemy that would sift you like wheat if he had the opportunity. The Bible said he walketh to and fro seeking whom he may devour. If you think you can stand against the devil in your flesh, he will sift you, ruin you, and destroy your life on this earth. You will be done for. Well, then how do I stand against the devil, preacher? You stand against him on your knees, pleading the blood of Christ on your soul, asking the Holy Ghost to fill you, taking authority over him in the name of Jesus to leave you. And my friend, if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you haven't given place to the devil, and I renounced everything he tried to lay on me, everything he tried to come against me with, I said, in the name of Jesus, I renounce you, Satan. I renounce your accusations. I renounce your charges. I renounce your authority. You don't own me. I belong to Jesus. He left me. He's been gone ever since. Thank God he's been gone ever since. For I couldn't have lived long under the power that came down upon me. A few years ago, I was in my prayer closet. I was crying out to God. And I knew I was drawing closer to him. And I knew at every moment something was changing. And it was unlike what I'd ever been experienced before. I knew that I was going through the Holy of Holies into the very presence of Almighty God. And I got to a point, and I've told you this before, only happened to me one time, just once, but once is enough. I got to a point to where I knew that if I went any further, I'd be dead. It'd be over. I'd be finished. I couldn't come back. It'd be done for. And when I got to that point, I cried out in the name of Jesus. I said, Jesus, Jesus, don't forsake me. Jesus, help me, help me. Because I was being drawn into the holiness of God. And my friend, you won't live in the flesh. And I cried out in the name of Jesus. And you know what he did? I felt him come and take hold of me. And I felt him pull me back. I felt him take hold of me and pull me back. I felt him come right into that room and take hold of me and pull me back. Don't misunderstand me. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a bit afraid to die. I'm not a bit afraid to go and be with the Lord. If my hour comes this afternoon, I'm gone. I've already been there. I've had one or two occasions where I thought I might die. I had a pain grab me in the chest one time, and I thought, Lord, is this a heart attack? I mean, I grabbed my chest and a pain that literally paralyzed my left arm. I started hurting, and I thought, am I having a heart attack? You know, and the next word out of my mouth, Jesus, if I am, I'm coming. I'm coming. Here I come. That's what I said. No, I'm not afraid to die, friend. No, it's not that. It's just that I knew that I was in a place where God let me get to that place, where God wanted me to feel His holiness. He wanted me to know what power there lies in that spiritual world. And that was good enough for me. And when I said, Jesus, I felt His hand take hold of me. And I cried out to Him. I know there's something about every time I get myself in a mess, or every time I'm in somewhere, my friend, in some kind of a pit or some kind of a deep hole or some kind of a spiritual battle, the name that always comes to my soul is the name of Jesus. And He's never failed me. Now, friend, I got to reading stuff about Kundalini yoga and about a serpent. Do you know anything about Kundalini yoga? My Sunday school class does. How many of you in here this morning don't know anything about Kundalini yoga? All right. Let me say this about it. It's being practiced in so-called Christian churches all across this country. The word Kundalini is a Sanskrit word, which is Hindu, ancient Hindu language, Sanskrit. And it means to coil. Kundalini yoga believes that there is a serpent coiled up at the base of your spine, and that it wraps itself upward around your spinal column. That it is the source of divine energy, enlightenment, strength, wisdom. It is greatly to be desired. The way you tap into that source of strength, enlightenment, and all of that is by meditation. By a certain form of meditation. That form of meditation is able to get you to tap into that source of power and strength. And my friend, I don't know if you realize it or not, but when people start tapping into that source of strength and power and enlightenment, they're literally tapping into the power of the devil. And by tapping into the power of the devil, if you are a born-again believer, you have just destroyed your life. But I personally don't really believe that a born-again believer, the Holy Ghost will let get to that point. I believe the Holy Ghost will put a block up in front of you like Balaam's ass. Remember that? You remember that in the Old Testament? The prophet was bull-headed and intended to go, and that donkey went up and stood in front of him and started talking to him. That'd been enough to stop me, wouldn't it, you? And Balaam started talking back to it. God had placed His angel in front of him. He would have smitten him down to the ground. He put a roadblock in front of him. He stopped him. The madness of the prophet. He stopped him. Thank God if you're born again, God puts roadblocks up to stop you. If you're in yoga, get out of it. Because if you're in yoga, it can lead to Kundalini yoga. And if you're in yoga and it leads you to Kundalini yoga, you're going to be led right straight into Satanism and witchcraft. You'll be led into a situation where your soul will be possessed. Your life will be ruined. Now, just in Sunday school this morning, a brother sat on the end of the pew over here, and he said, she or I forget who said it, she or he, but they said that killer down there in Tucson, Arizona. You know what I'm talking about? What's his name? Lofton, something. You all know who I'm talking about. That killer down there in Tucson, Arizona, that shot 6 people to death. Wasn't always crazy. He went off to college, and before he went to college, he was as sane as anybody, just like everybody else. He went off to college and he got off into yoga.
And they say, those that knew him say that when he got off into that, immediately he started changing. He started changing. Well, I don't know how deep he got into it. I'm going to do some research. This done sparked my interest. I'm going to find out. I don't know how deep he got into it. I don't know what form he was in. Maybe he was in Kundalini yoga. They had an altar in his backyard. You know that, don't you? He had a satanic altar in his backyard. And they showed a photograph of him there in jail after he'd killed all those people. How many of you have seen that photograph on TV? All of you probably. If you watch the news, you've seen that picture. Big round, wild eyes, wild smile, the face of a madman. He just gunned down six people. One, a little nine-year-old girl, took her little life away from her. Just gunned down six people, and yet he looked like a monkey face, a wild, crazed individual. You know why he did that? He did that because he got possessed somewhere along the line in yoga. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. If you are watching your astrology day in and day out in the newspaper, stop it. If you've got a Ouija board at home, you think it's so innocent. This thing's funny. It talks back to us, you know. Burn it. Don't give it away. Burn it. If you've got tarot cards in your house, and those of you that haven't, you know what I'm talking about. You've got tarot cards in your house, get rid of them. Burn them. The best thing to do with all this stuff I'm talking about is not give it to anybody. Burn this stuff. That'd be like giving somebody a rattlesnake. Burn it. And Lord knows, whatever other, some kind of a satanic concoction you got or some kind of a witchcraft thing you may have in your house, burn it. Because if you are a Christian, a born-again believer, there is absolutely no place in your life for that stuff. You're grieving the Holy Ghost. Leave it alone. And if you hunger for spiritual things, glory to God. Let me tell you something this morning. God's got something for you that will fill you up, blow you away, satisfy your soul like nothing ever could. You say, what is that? That's the filling of the Holy Ghost. It's that unction. Try Him. Believer, try Him. Ask Him to fill you up. Pray. Seek His face. You know, I'm amazed. I really am. People go to college for 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12. Some never get out. So they can learn something. So they can better themselves. So they can gain this knowledge that you know. And I'm not against college, folks. I'm not against school. But I'm trying to tell you, they pay a price. They pay a price for that. I walked the floor to learn Greek and Hebrew. That's the hardest thing I've ever tried to do in my life. It's not easy, especially Hebrew. Hebrew's not easy. No Hebrew letter looks like anything you ever saw in your life. Greek letters, yeah, some of them, not all of them. But I learned it. I paid a price. I suffered through it. I learned it. It's precious, the effort I put into it. What makes you think that God Almighty is a button to push? The Bible said, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll know me, you'll find me. With all your heart. All your heart. That's what killed the church. It's this ritualism. It's this dead formality. It's this sacrament, this stuff that replaces the power of God. That's what killed us. Well, thank God this church ain't dead. If I were in this house this morning, I'd come down here and I'd say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm born again. I know I'm born again. I know I am born again. But there's something lacking in my life. There's something lacking in my life. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to fill you. Seek that filling. Seek that power. Seek it. He's not going to play games with you. He's no respecter of persons. Seek that Holy Spirit power in your life. That unction, that will fill your life full of joy and full of power. And I'm telling you right now, outside of being born again, that's the greatest thing that could happen to a believer outside of the new birth. Would you do it? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I preached what you put on my heart. God, the battle's real. Lord, it's more real than we give it credit for. Our enemy's powerful, Lord. He's more powerful than we ever thought he was. He's powerful. You let me feel his power, Lord. You let me feel it. That gave me more of respect for the power of the devil and the power of hell. I have more respect. I have more respect. I cannot come against that one with my own strength and my own power. But I can come against him in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to God. I can do that. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. There's somebody in this house this morning that wants to get closer. They want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. They want that power in their life. They want unction in their soul. In thy name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing. Brother, what do we got?
Page number 375 in the All-American.
Won't you come? Fill me, Lord God, fill me, fill me, fill me. God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. If you're having trouble in the flesh, you need spirit power. That's the only way you can overcome the flesh, is by the Spirit. Sing another verse, brother. Stuff is creeping into the churches all over the country, folks. If Temple Baptist Church didn't take a stand and didn't teach the people about this stuff, it could creep right in here. And I guarantee you, wherever it goes, it's the death knell to that church. It'll kill it in a heartbeat. Kill it in a heartbeat. A born-again believer and that stuff is incompatible. Sing another verse, brother.
Just as I am for wretched God, such riches he can bring around God. May all I need in thee to find a way of God I know.
The Lord protects us from a lot of things. He really does. He protects us. Thank God he does, too. He does. He protects us. You know that in the book of Revelation where it talks about those who have known the depths of Satan? Man, that's some strong stuff. I don't know what the depths of Satan, I've never been there, but I know there's some who have. I think Aleister Crowley over there in England did. He was one of the most wicked men that ever lived. became the guru and teacher and father of a lot of what goes on today in Satanism. I think Anton LaVey that started the Church of Satan out there in California, he was a disciple of Aleister Crowley. That's where he got his teaching. They like to invert the cross. They like to make fun of all the sacrifice of the Lord, invert his name, turn everything upside down. A Satanist hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates him. He hates him. The Bible says that we love him. See the difference? We are poles apart. Well, anything that has to do with Satan and witchcraft and his world, we're poles apart. There's no meeting ground. There's no meeting of the minds. There's no agreement. There's nothing we can mix with. See, they have nothing we want. Nothing. They have nothing we want or need. Amen. Amen. All right. That's just, in other words, it's an absolute and complete cut them off. And that's the way it has to be. All right. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. Pray for this preacher. Please pray for me.
Dina Martin is my niece, and she's in critical condition. She's in Fort Sanders. I don't know which region or what, but she's in ICU, and she's a nurse, and she just continued to work in spite of everything and didn't go to the doctor herself until it just took over, and she's critical.
Well, yeah.
Pray for her.
Dina Martin.
Yes.
Sister Henderson's niece. Yes, sir.
Brother Page is having a real rough time in his prayer. He said he had to go to it.
Brother Paget Sr.? All right. Okay. Amen. All right. All right.
That missionary family down there in New Mexico, the lady got healed a couple of years ago. She was a sweet lady. She got healed down there in Mexico.
I saw that on the news. Yeah, I saw that. Well, she went on to be with the Lord. Y'all keep an eye on Egypt. Israel's watching them very closely. Be very cautious about what's going on over there. There's a domino effect going on. Started in Tunisia, and now it's spread to Egypt and Jordan and some of the other Arab countries. And folks, if the Muslim Brotherhood in Iran wants to replace all of those secular despots and dictators with hardline religion, that's what they want. And if that day ever comes, folks, you're going to have yourself one big war, because I guarantee you the first thing they'll do is attack Israel, come against them again. And that, of course, may be what's coming. That's maybe the peace that the Antichrist gets settled over there. War is coming somewhere, and the Antichrist is going to step in and make peace. That may be it. Maybe it. I thought about that when I saw him in the streets. So he's coming. I've never seen a time in my life that makes me believe more the Lord's coming as soon.
Amen.
And all I can say is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. All right, Brother Yarbrough, will you dismiss us, please?